TV Bible Study is a serious effort to study in depth every word of God. Each 30-minute lesson has been carefully arranged to assist you with your study of God's Word. And now for your TV Bible Study teacher, Richard Rogers.
Welcome again to TV Bible Study. We're studying the Old Testament history, the history of the Bible. We're particularly studying at this time the history of the Hebrew nation, studies of the book of Joshua through the book of 2 Chronicles. We've seen Joshua lead the children of Israel into the promised land, give them victory and honor and glory and exaltation and peace. But we've seen that peace interrupted by a cycle that the book of Judges presents again and again and again. They were not worthy of that peace. And soon, because of idleness and ease and luxury, they apostatized and quit worshiping God and began to worship idols. And so God sent an oppressing nation that afflicted them and persecuted them. That led them, thank the Lord, to repent. And when they repented, God sent a deliverer, a judge, first Othniel, then Ehud, and right on down the line, all the judges that we've studied. And those judges, when they delivered them, brought them again into a condition of peace. And as long as that judge lived, they had peace. But as soon as that judge died, every single time, as soon as that judge died, they sinned again. Today we want to study the 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th judge of Israel. That may sound like a lot, but 10, 11, and 12 have very little said about them at all. Open your Bibles to chapter 12 of the book of Judges in verse 8. And by the way, if you haven't sent in for an outline, and we're following it very closely, if you haven't sent in for an outline of this material, do so. We'll give you an address at the end of this lesson. You can send there and an outline will be sent to you. Then you'll have at least the skeleton of what we're studying. You'll be able, with an open Bible and this open outline and pencil and paper, to get a whole lot more out of your study. But you see, we're not here to entertain. We hope it is a little entertaining. But we're not here to entertain. We're not here to make you feel good, although we hope we make you feel good. We're not here to make you feel bad, although on occasion we even hope we make you feel bad. We're here for one reason, and that is to let God speak to us, to let the Bible speak to us. And the only way that can occur is for you to have an open book, open mind, and a pencil and a paper to write down what you learn. Now turn to chapter 12, and I want to read in verse 8. After him, that is after Jephthah, Ibzan of Bethlehem judged Israel. And he had 30 sons and 30 daughters he sent abroad, and 30 daughters he brought in for his sons. And he judged Israel 7 years. And Ibzan died and was buried at Bethlehem. So the 10th judge, and all we know is that he's from Judah, and that he gave them peace for a period of time. In verse 11, and after him, Elon, the Jebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon the Zebulunite died and was buried in Ajalon in the land of Zebulun. And all we know about this fellow is where he came from and that he gave them 10 years of peace. But the 11th judge is Elon. Then in verse 13, after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, the Parathonite, judged Israel. And he had 40 sons and 30 sons' sons. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons that rode upon 70 asses' colts. And he judged Israel 8 years. That's all we know about him, is that he brought peace to Israel for 8 years. So 7 for Ibzan and 10 for Elon and 8 for Abnon makes about 27 years these men bring peace to Israel. And now in chapter 13, verse 1, the same old sad story happens again. And the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah. In spite of all the lessons of the past, they hadn't learned them. Good lessons. Oh, I say good lessons. You understand what I mean by that? Lessons of value. Time and time again, they've had peace issue forth in apostasy. Simply because they didn't stay hard. They didn't stay committed. They didn't stay hooked into the Lord Jesus, into the Lord Jehovah. In chapter 13, verse 1, it says the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and Jehovah delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So we're going to find out that that oppression of the Philistines will go nearly uninterrupted for 120 years. But in this judge's life, in the judge of Samson that we're about to study, they are afflicted by the Philistine for 40 years. The 13th judge in Israel is Samson, who we call the Nazarite judge, or the strong man judge. Everybody knows about Samson. He's a fellow that didn't cut his hair. He's a fellow that didn't drink any grape juice. He's a fellow who was powerful enough to do mighty deeds. But that's about all anybody ever really knows about Samson. We haven't really studied Samson's life enough to gain the lessons we need to learn. Samson is the 13th judge. We know the oppressing nation. The oppressing nation is the Philistines. But I want you to read with me, starting in chapter 13 and verse 2, of his father's faith. Chapter 13, verse 2 of the book of Judges. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto the woman. Notice how many barren women there are in the Bible. Think about how many great men were born of barren women who were entreated by God and to whom God was entreated for and who gave them the ability to bear. Isaac was born of a barren woman. Jacob was born of a barren woman. Joseph was born of a barren woman. Samson now will be born of a barren woman. Samuel was born of a barren woman. Isn't it amazing how many women in the Bible can't have children and then pray, or their husbands pray, and God gives them the ability to bear children, and a great man is born as a result of that prayer. Now, read. I don't know what to make of that, but it's interesting, isn't it? Then look at verse 3. And the angel of Jehovah appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So says, you're going to get your prayer. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink no wine nor strong drink, nor eat. Now, by the way, if wine is always strong drink, why does he say drink no wine nor strong drink? You see, wine is a generic word, meaning either fermented or unfermented grapes. So he says, drink no wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto Jehovah from the womb. Now, if you want to know what a Nazarite is, you go back and read the book of Numbers, chapter 6, and other places in the book of Numbers. And you'll find that a Nazarite is a man who has been totally and completely dedicated to the Lord and to the service of the Lord. Normally, they were Nazarites for only a short period of time because it was a hard vow to keep. They didn't cut their hair. They didn't eat anything unclean. They didn't touch any dead person or dead thing. They didn't drink anything that came from the vine. They were totally and completely dedicated to the service of God 24 hours a day during the period of that vow. I don't mean that they didn't sleep, but even their sleep was that which was holy unto God. They didn't do anything that normal folk did, or at least they weren't supposed to. Now, not all Nazarites kept that vow totally and completely, as we're going to learn from this Nazarite, Samson. But his mother is told that this boy is to be a Nazarite even from the womb. She goes back and tells her husband that the angel of Jehovah has appeared unto her, and that the angel of Jehovah has told him that told her that the child will be a Nazarite from the womb to the days of his death. So we might say from the womb to the tomb. And Manoah, when he heard this, arose, and he ran to see the angel of Jehovah. And we read in verse 13 of chapter 13, And the angel of Jehovah said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She shall not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that is commanded unto her, let her observe. And Manoah saith to the angel of Jehovah, Wait here a minute, and I will offer unto you a sacrifice. And so Manoah took a kid and a meal offering, and he offered it unto the angel of Jehovah. He recognizes that he's talking to the Lord. He recognizes that he's talking to God. And he offers a sacrifice to the angel of Jehovah. So although it says the angel of Jehovah, we know it's not an ordinary angel. By the way, both in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language, the word angel simply means messenger. And so this is one of the members of the Godhead who has come as the messenger of Jehovah. For he accepts the sacrifice. And an angel never did do that. When John in the book of Revelation tried to bow down unto an angel, the angel said, "See thou doest not, I am a fellow servant with thee and with our brethren the prophets. Worship God." So the birth of Samson is a very significant birth, because he is promised unto God from the very birth, from the very moment of birth. In verse 24 of chapter 13 I read, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and Jehovah blessed him." Look at verse 25. "And the Spirit of Jehovah began to move him." Now understand where his power is coming from. The power of Samson is not in his hair. The power of Samson is not in his dedication to God. The power of Samson is in the fact that the Spirit of Jehovah is moving him. Now from chapter 14 through chapter 16, there are 6 points in his life that we need to study. We're going to study them one at a time. First of all, in chapter 14, we have what we're going to call the riddle. Now, we're going to find out something about Samson. He's weak toward women. And he's weak toward the wrong kind of women. He goes down to the land of Philistia, and he sees there a Philistine woman. Now, God has told Israel not to marry Philistine women. But he goes down, and he sees a Philistine woman that he loves. And he asked her father and her mother if he might have her as a wife. And her father says yes. And so he comes back. He goes home to tell his mother and father. And he tells his mother and his father he's going to marry this Philistine woman. And it grieves them, because they're a man. He is a man and she's a woman of God. They're people of God. And they don't want him to marry the Philistine. But he's grown now. And he'll do whatever he wants to do. On his way back to Philistia to get his wife, he comes upon a dead lion. He killed it on the way home. And he comes back on this dead lion, and bees have built a hive in the carcass of the lion, and honey is there. And he takes his spear, and he gets honey from the carcass of the lion, and he eats it. And then we wonder, why in the world is that recorded in the Bible? We're going to find out in just a minute. He gets back to his father-in-law, the bee's house, and they give him 7 men to be his companions, and his wife is separated unto her companions. And he says to these 30 fellas who have been his companions with him, or to be companions with him, he said, I'll tell you a riddle. And if during the 7 days of the feast you can tell me the riddle, I'll give each one of you a brand new suit, change of raiment. But if you can't tell me the riddle during 70 years, then each one of you must give me a change of raiment. He'll have them 30 brand new suits. And in verse 14, he tells them the riddle. Out of the eater, chapter 14, verse 14. Out of the eater came forth food, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days declare the riddle. I mean, they couldn't figure that out. Now, I know it because I know the story of the lion. The eater, that's the lion, came forth out of the eater, the lion, came forth food. That's the honey. Out of the strong, that's the lion, came forth sweetness. That's the honey. Now, it came to pass at the end of the 7th day, they still couldn't tell him the riddle. And they went in and they told his wife-to-be, "If you don't find out the riddle from him, we're going to kill you and all your father's house." And she came in and nagged him. Now, it doesn't say nag in the Bible. But in verse 17, it says she pressed him sore. She nagged him. I mean, she said, "You don't love me. If you love me, you tell me the riddle." And he couldn't take that, you know. And so he told her the riddle. He says, "What's sweeter than honey, and what's stronger than a lion?" And, you know, they came then, the 30 fellows did. And they said, "We know the riddle. We figured it out." He said, "What is it?" He says, "What's sweeter than the honey, and what's stronger than the lion?" He said, "If you'd not plowed with my heifer, you'd not found out my riddle." Then in verse 19 of chapter 14, It says the Spirit of Jehovah came mightily upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and smote 30 of them. He got his 30 suits from 30 Philistines. He killed 30 Philistines and took their raiment off of them and brought them back and gave them to his friends. And his anger is kindled. He's mad. And he goes home. The last verse of chapter 14 says Samson's wife was given to his companion, which he used as his friend. That's one of those occasions where the best man got the bride. The groom went home to give the bride to the best man. That's the riddle. And 30 Philistines have died because of that riddle. You see, God is seeking occasions against the Philistines through Samson's lust. And now Samson has killed 30 Philistines. In chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, we have the story of 300 foxes. Samson soon wants his wife, and he goes back to get her. And the father-in-law says, well, I gave her to the best man because I didn't know that you were interested in her. That made Samson mad. So Samson went out and caught 300 foxes. You ever tried to catch one fox? And Samson's one fella, isn't he? He's quite a fella. He catches 300 foxes and ties them tail to tail. That'd be 150 pair with their tails tied together. And he puts a burning torch in the middle of each one of them's tail, and he sets them loose in the Philistines' grain. And he burns up all of the grain of the Philistines. And the Philistines say, who's done this? And they said, well, the Samson, the son-in-law of this fella. And then they went and killed all of the, killed the man, and killed his wife, and killed all of his house. And Samson was mad at that. And in verse 8 it says, he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he came and dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Edom. At the riddle, he killed 30 Philistines. With the 300 foxes, he not only burned up the Philistine grain, but he smote the Philistines with a hip and a thigh slaughter. Now the Philistines come to capture him. In chapter 15, beginning with verse 9, going through verse 20, and we're going to call this section the jawbone. We had the riddle, then we had the foxes, and now we've got the jawbone. They come and they find Samson dwelling in Lehi, in the city, in the country of Judah. And they say, we're going to defeat the city of Lehi because you're harboring Samson. And the men of Lehi are afraid of the Philistines. And they come in to Samson and say, what are we going to do? Samson says, promise me you won't hurt me, but bind me up and take me out to him. And so they tied Samson up and they carried him out to the Philistines. And when he got out there, he broke the ropes with which he was bound as if it was so much flax, or as if it was like tow on the candle. And it says in chapter 15 and verse 14 that the Spirit of Jehovah came upon him, and the rope was like flax that is burnt with fire, and his bands dropped off of his hands. Verse 15, he found a fresh jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and smote 1,000 men therewith. Now, I don't know exactly how he did that. You know, in a movie of that, they had him standing up, I think, between two rocks and the people coming by and hitting them as they came by. That's good enough for me. I don't know how he did it, but he picked up a fresh jawbone. I've seen the jawbone of a donkey, and that would make a pretty good weapon, sort of like an Irish shillelagh. And he picked up the jawbone of an ass, and he slew 1,000 Philistines. And I want you to notice what he sang as he slew them. Verse 16, chapter 15. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, one heap, two heaps. With the jawbone of an ass have I smitten 1,000 men. One heap, two heaps. Which would indicate he put them in two piles. So maybe the figure is a good one. He stands here on the rock, and here they come toward him, and he hits this one here and puts him over there, and he hits that one there with a backhand and puts him over there, and then forehand in this pile, and backhand in that pile, and forehand in this pile, and backhand in that pile, until finally they quit coming, and there's 500 in the forehand pile, and 500 in the backhand pile. He's built up two piles of Philistines, 500 feet high. 30 Philistines, a hip and thigh slaughter, and now thousand Philistines slain. He's an army, isn't he? He doesn't need anybody following him. This fellow takes care of the entire Philistine nation. In chapter 16, verses 1 to 3, we have the gates. Gaza's gates. Samson, chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. He has trouble with the wrong kind of man. He goes into a harlot. And the men of Gaza say, Samson's in the city. Let's lock the gate and kill him in the morning. Samson gets up about midnight, and he goes out and he just picks the gates up off of their foundation. I've seen the gates of some of those ancient cities. They weigh a ton. They weigh at least a ton, at least 2,000 pounds. I don't know if these gates would weigh that much or not. Let's let them weigh 1,000 pounds. At least weigh that. Heavy wooden gates, long, wide enough for several wagons to pass through. He picks those gates up off the hinges. Now remember, the Spirit of Jehovah is upon him. He picks the gates up off the hinges, puts the gates on his back, and walks 30 miles uphill to the top of Mount Hebron and puts the gates there. And when the men of Gaza wake up in the morning, they don't have their gates. He has shamed the city of Gaza. Then in chapter 16, beginning with verse 4 and going through verse 22, we have the haircut. You see, he goes down to a city called Sorek, and he sees there a woman whom he loved. Her name, you know it, don't you? Delilah. Well, he loves the wrong kind of women. I mean, Delilah is an ungodly woman. The Philistines come to Delilah, and they tell her, if you will entice Samson and get him to tell you the strength that he has, we'll pay you 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, a piece of silver is worth a week's work. We'll pay you 1,100 weeks' salary. Well, they really offer her a great amount of money. Delilah asked Samson, tell me, I pray thee, the reason for thy strength. And Samson says in verse 7 of chapter 16, if you will bind me with 7 new bowstrings, I'll be weak. And she bound him with 7 new bowstrings and said, the Philistines are upon you. And he just burst those bowstrings like they were tallow touched by the fire. And his strength was not known. Delilah says, you've mocked me. Tell me, I pray thee, the reason for thy power. He says, if you bind me with new ropes, which never bound man, then I'll be weak as another man. So she took new ropes and bound him. And she said, the Philistines are upon you. And he broke them like they wasn't even there. And then Delilah said, oh, you mocked me and told me lies. Where's the reason for your strength? He says, weave the 7 locks of my head with a web and fasten it with a pin, and then I'll be weak. She weaved his head with a web and fastened it with a pin and says, the Philistines are upon you. And he plucked away the pin and the web, and she didn't know the power of his strength. And then she began to nag him. Now, the text doesn't say nag, but you listen to what she said and see if you don't think she nagged him. She said, how canst thou say, I love thee, and thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and have not told me where your great strength is. And it came to pass that she pressed him daily with her words, and she urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Men, we understand that, don't we? I mean, if a woman, our woman, gets on us that way, there's very little we won't do. And so he said, the secret of my strength is in my hair. If you shave my head, which has never had razor on it since my mother's womb, I'll be as other men. She shaved his head and said, and bound him and said, the Philistines are upon you. And he thought to shake himself loose as at other times, but he did not know that Jehovah had departed from him. And the Philistines came, and they put out his eyes, and they made him to grind. They made him to grind wheat. And you know, that's normally what you have an oxen or an ass do. They put him on the bar of a heavy grindstone. And it made him move with the oxen and with the asses all day long, grinding the wheat in the mill, in the grain house. And they bound him with feathers. But then I read in chapter 16, verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow after he'd been shamed. And that brings me to number 6, which I like to call simply more in his death than in his life. It came to pass on the day that all of the Philistines had come to the house of Dagon. So that's one of their gods. To worship Dagon, their god. If they decided in the midst of the feast and in their joy, bring forth Samson out here and let us have fun and make sport with him. And they brought Samson out, blind Samson, his hair now grown again. And Samson told the little boy, the young lad that brought him out, son, let me feel the pillars upon which the house rests. Now there's thousands of people in the house, but there's more on the roof than is in the house. And the boy got into the pillars and put a hand on both of the pillars that held up the entire roof. And he prayed. He said, Lord, hear me one more time. He said, give me strength one more time. Let me not die a shameful death, but let me die with these Philistines for the sake of my two eyes. With all of the strength that he had, he pushed with each hand upon the pillars until finally the pillars gave way and the house came tumbling down. And he killed everybody upon the roof and everybody inside of the house. So that I read in verse 30, chapter 16. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with his might. And the house fell upon the Lord and upon the people that were therein. So the dead that he slew at his death were more than they that he had slain in his life. He killed more in his death than ever had in his life. Let's review quickly his life. At a riddle, he killed 30 Philistines. At the story of the 300 foxes, he smote them with a hip and thigh slaughter. At the jawbone, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. In the gates of Gaza, he brought to shame the chief city of the Philistines. But then when he came to the haircut, he himself was brought to nothing and captured by the Philistines and blinded and mocked and made the labor in a shameful labor. But then on the last day of his life, he got honor over the Philistines and slew more in his death than he did in his life. Now, we're not going to study the rest of the book of Judges together, but you read it, and you'll find that it is just an account of what takes place during the entire time of the book of Judges. And the key thought is this. There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what a lot of people want to do today, don't they? They say, don't tell me what to do. I do whatever I want to do. I'll do my own thing. Nobody can tell me what to do. That's what they were doing during the time of Judges. Time and time again, they were doing what they wanted to do. And so time and time again, God sent an oppressor. For the sake of America, for the sake of your family and your soul, I pray that you and I will make Jehovah, make Jesus, the king of our soul. I've enjoyed the study of the book of Judges. There are two more judges, but they're in the book of 1 Samuel. And we'll begin to study them in our lesson together next time. God bless you in your study of His Word.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness.
These lessons are available on video cassette tapes for use with video cassette players or TV station broadcasting. Audio cassette tapes are also available. This systematic study of the Bible was designed for a variety of uses. Teacher training programs, substitute teacher needs, community Bible study programs on local TV, and hospital closed circuit programs, to mention a few. God bless your study of His Word.